It's Thursday, January 22nd, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast, or actually not really a good day if you happen to live in South Lake Tahoe, California. We've got breaking news reported to us from Americans for Safe Access that the first DEA medical marijuana raid under the Obama administration has taken place today around 3 o'clock Pacific time in South Lake Tahoe, California. A dispensary known as Holistic Solutions was raided. Medical marijuana and cash were seized, but of course, no arrests. We'll be speaking with Chris Hermes from Americans for Safe Access in our first interview segment. He'll break down what exactly happened in this raid. Also, we've got to remind you to set your DVRs or get in front of your television sets at 9 p.m. tonight Eastern Time with a replay at 1 a.m. Eastern Time to cable channel CNBC for Marijuana Inc., the new one-hour documentary that's a look at Northern California's billion-dollar marijuana crop. Check that out on CNBC tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. We've also got a request out from the American Civil Liberties Union in Arizona. They are looking to bring a state constitutional challenge to random student drug testing in Arizona. They're looking for people who can testify and be plaintiffs in this suit. So if you're a student in Arizona who has suffered because of random student drug testing, send me an email at stash@normal.org or visit our blog at stash.normal.org and leave a comment, and we'll be sure to pass that on to the ACLU down in Arizona. Plus, we still got our alert out for Montana stashers to call your legislators about two important bills. Of course, the really bad one is that SB 212. So check out our stash blog for a phone number and other ways that you can contact the legislators in Montana. Finally, check out the new and improved Stash blog at stash.normal.org. We've got all sorts of interactive features, including a guest book on the front page where you can leave your comments for everyone to see. We've got more videos, including the latest one I've posted from The Daily Show on why pot is illegal, the money quote being, quote, "The nerds go into politics and they stick it to the cool guys by outlawing pot. Today, that shameful chapter in our nation's history is finally over," end quote. Well, yeah, I certainly hope so, and we're going to do everything we can here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash to see that that happens. Also, a great story posted in Reason Magazine that's coming online on the Normal blog at normal.org. This has to do with a comparison of pornography and paraphernalia, and how, and the quote here is, "They are both prosecutions that aim to punish offensive speech. Just as pornography implicitly endorses recreational sex, drug paraphernalia implicitly endorses recreational drug use. Both are an affront to the moral values of the officials who choose to crack down on them." If you followed these stories of Tommy Chong being busted for selling bongs and the wayward prosecutor Mary Beth Buchanan in Western Pennsylvania, this will be a real interesting read for you. So check out the Stash blog. Look for the post on From Porno to Paraphernalia. It's all about free speech. Wow, some days we just have so much more to talk about than others. It's a pretty busy day here in marijuana law reform, so let's get right to it. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. San Francisco mayor proposes tighter dispensary regulations. Medical pot club operators would have to hand over financial records and keep membership information under a proposal from Mayor Gavin Newsom intended to tighten up San Francisco's regulation on the drug dispensaries. Newsom's proposal comes in the wake of State Attorney General Jerry Brown's recent issuance of medical marijuana guidelines and as the tensions between medical pot club operators and federal authorities remain strained. The use and distribution of medical marijuana is legal under state and city law, but illegal under federal law. Medicinal marijuana clinics in several Bay Area cities have been raided and shut down by federal authorities. Newsom's proposal seeks to protect clinics from such raids by tightening up the rules they operate under. Newsom's proposal amends existing city regulations to require pot clubs to maintain some form of membership records. Newsom initially proposed requiring the clubs to keep a list of names and addresses of customers, but that ignited outrage among medical marijuana advocates and subsequently was abandoned. The legislation also requires dispensaries to operate on a not-for-profit basis and, when requested by city health officials, provide financial records detailing revenues and expenses. Such records would be requested if there is a reasonable suspicion the dispensary is operating for profit. 9 medical dispensaries have received city permits to operate, and 14 others are going through the permitting process, according to the Department of Public Health. Well, I had written this story earlier this morning before we had heard of the raid in South Lake Tahoe, and I asked whether or not there was anything Mayor Newsom would do about dispensaries that would even cause the DEA to back off on raids. We'll have to see how this all shakes out. New study. Sperm may be affected by marijuana. Nashville, Tennessee. Human male fertility may be impacted by long-term exposure to marijuana, researchers in the United States and Japan suggest. The researchers at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville and colleagues said the findings show that genetic loss of fatty acid amide hydrolase, an enzyme, results in elevated levels of anandamide, an endocannabinoid, in the male reproductive system, leading to compromised fertilizing capacity of sperm. The endocannabinoid system refers to a group of lipids and their receptors that are involved in a variety of physiological processes, including appetite, pain sensation, mood, and memory. Retention of fatty acid amide hydrolase on an egg provides evidence that the sperm's capacity to penetrate is dampened by elevated anandamide levels. Yeah, right. That's why the Rastafarians died out. That's why you never see hippie kids in tie-dyes anymore. That's why Willie Nelson had 7 kids. Wow, only in the twisted logic of the war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs Could you have a drug that they scare kids away from by saying they'll get pregnant, and then scare kids away from by saying they won't get pregnant? Juarez Vigilante Group proclaims manifesto, issues warning. The newly formed vigilante group, El Comando Ciudadano por Juarez, proclaimed its manifesto Tuesday in a news release to Juarez Media. It vowed to take over the streets in a matter of months if city, state, and federal leaders fail to restore order. In the manifesto, the group identified Comandante Abraham as its leader and Subcomandante Gabriel as second in command. Chihuahua Attorney General Patricia Gonzalez-Rodriguez denied the existence of the vigilante group Monday, stating the group was merely a fabrication by drug cartels to install fear into Juarenses and generate more violence to destabilize the city. In 2008, more than 1,600 people were killed in Juarez. City officials attributed the majority of the violent deaths to an ongoing war between rival drug cartels fighting for drug routes into the U.S. Making matters worse, the city plunged into an economic abyss which gave rise to a rash of violent crime. Kidnappings for ransom and extortions became the norm, and some of the city's wealthiest families fled to El Paso. The vigilante group stated its mission was to kill one criminal a day and declared war on burglars, kidnappers, and extortionists that constantly violate the rights of citizens. The group told city leaders they have until July 5, 2009 to reestablish order. A failure to meet that goal by the deadline will result in the group taking the streets with its, quote, army of men and women, end quote, who will battle criminals with whatever tool is available. The manifesto describes the group as an organization consisting of university students, professors, commercial businessmen, unemployed workers, and field workers who are willing to give their lives for their city. The group even revealed it is funded by businessmen who have fled their city due to the escalating violence and is willing to work side by side with the Mexican army. People here have a hard time understanding that there were more kidnappings, terrorism, and beheadings in Mexico last year than Iraq. This is a serious shooting war going on, and 70% of it is funded by the marijuana we are not allowed to grow domestically. With more than 1,600 deaths in a city of 1.4 million, Juarez beat the 2008 murder totals of New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. combined. Cities that equal 15.5 million people or more than 10 times larger than Juarez. Now, the people are so terrified they are turning to vigilantism, a sure sign of the beginnings of a failed state. The politicians are continuing more of the same in-the-box thinking that got them into this situation, more military force through U.S. funding of the Meridia Initiative. Nobody in power can accept the fact that marijuana is here to stay. Some people will always want to smoke it, there will always be a marijuana market, and it will be controlled by either the murderous criminals or by we the people. Global warming threatens forests, study says. From CNN. Forests in the Pacific Northwest are dying twice as fast as they were 17 years ago, and scientists blame warming temperatures for the trend, according to a new study. The study, to be released Friday in the journal Science, is the first large-scale analysis of environmental changes as contributing factors in the mortality of coniferous forests. The data for this research was gathered by generations of scientists over a 50-year period at multiple sites in Oregon, Washington, California, Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and southwestern British Columbia. 76 forest plots, all more than 200 years old, were monitored by scientists doing some of the most rudimentary research, counting trees. The study primarily focused on three types of coniferous trees, pines, firs, and hemlocks. Older growth forests, some up to 500 years old, have trees of all ages, and researchers found that mortality rates have increased for all age groups. Since mortality rates went up across the board, scientists ruled out a number of other possible causes, including ozone-related air pollution, long-term effects of fire suppression, and normal forest dynamics. In the end, California had the highest tree death rate. Of the three types of coniferous trees studied, pines were found to be dying at the fastest rate. Ultimately, higher tree mortality may lead to significant shifts in forest structure and function, the report states. If only I could think of a way to reduce the need to cut down so many of these trees for paper and building materials, while simultaneously fighting global warming by creating huge carbon sinks that would take in greenhouse gas carbon dioxide and expel healthy oxygen, and provide an alternative fuel source for the gas-burning vehicles that contribute so heavily to pollution and global warming. Well, I know, if I just smoke another joint, it'll come to me. Hold on.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Will. I don't work at a used record store. I don't own an iguana, although I'm sure they make great pets. I don't have dreadlocks or play the acoustic guitar. I can remember quite well, thank you, and no, I don't constantly have the munchies. When 420 comes around, I've still got 40 minutes of work left. I've never hit a girl on a bike with my car or shot my friend with a shotgun. I've never had to apologize for letting a girl I was watching drown in a pool while I was getting high because, duh, I wouldn't be getting high if I was around children. I'm a regular guy who works regular jobs, just like the majority of all Americans who use marijuana occasionally and responsibly. My name is Will, and I'm normal.
Well, we have some unfortunate news to break here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash. We had hoped for a change with the Obama administration, and yet today, the sad news to report, the first DEA raid of a medical marijuana dispensary in California under the Obama administration. Joining us to discuss the full story here is Chris Hermes, the media liaison for Americans for Safe Access. And Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Let's just get the facts out of the way first, and then we'll discuss a little bit about this action. Where, when, what has happened, and what are we looking at here as far as this raid?
Well, a federal raid occurred this afternoon in South Lake Tahoe in California. It was a medical marijuana dispensary that was raided. There are approximately 400 of these type of facilities around the state, and this was, I believe, one of two in the area, and it was a DEA raid, and I believe it's over. There were no arrests, and medicine and cash were apparently seized in the raid.
Now, that's the thing that's always interesting to me about these raids, is that the DEA comes in, seizes the medicine and the receipts and the cash and all the property and such, but never makes an arrest. Why is that?
Well, sometimes they do make arrests or later indict people. It's probably mostly due, or at least they're not arresting people all the time, is likely due to their incapacity to deal with the number of federal cases that would result from indicting every single operator of a dispensary that they raided. So what they do, in essence, is go in and seize money and medical marijuana and a lot of times patient records and other property, and never have to follow it up with a prosecution. An indictment or prosecution, and essentially get to keep all of that money and property, since getting it back would be extremely difficult, or at least it was extremely difficult under the Bush administration. We will have to see what happens as we, you know, proceed in the coming weeks and months of the Obama administration.
Now, Chris, these kind of operations that are undertaken by the DEA to raid these dispensaries, I imagine they take some time to plan and organize. So is it likely that this DEA raid is something that had formed, or the idea for it or the planning for it is formed under the Bush administration, and it's just continued on because no one thought to stop it in the Obama administration?
That's quite possible. In fact, since there is not a new DEA administrator yet selected by the Obama administration or appointed. Also, the incoming U.S. Attorney General, whose confirmation I believe is imminent, that's Eric Holder, has yet to be seated in office. So we're working here with continuing to work with Bush administration officials, and it's very likely that they are continuing a policy which is harmful and unnecessary, since California has passed its own medical marijuana law more than 12 years ago.
Yeah. And a lot of people hear these stories of the raids in California, and naturally that's the where a large degree of the focus of the DEA has been over these past few years. But in your press release, you point out that this isn't just a California issue and that other states have been affected.
Yes. Yes, both Washington State and Oregon have come under fire by the DEA in different ways. In Washington State, I believe it was 1.5, 2 years ago that the DEA raided a advocacy organization that provided starter plants for hundreds of patients. And in Oregon, of course, you might be familiar, or your listeners might be familiar about the incident that happened not too long ago, in which the DEA sought through a grand jury, a federal grand jury, information on more than a dozen patients in the state of Oregon's medical marijuana program. And fortunately, they were rebuffed by the state of Oregon. The state resisted the subpoena to turn over the documentation, patient records, and the DEA wasn't able to get what it wanted in that case. However, these attempts to really get at and undermine these states' medical marijuana laws has got to stop, and we're hopeful that under this new administration, once he has a chance to appoint a new DEA administrator and a new attorney general, we can see some change happen, and we hope quickly.
Well, absolutely. We got to keep the pressure on as well so that they understand that the people are not behind this kind of interference with the state medical marijuana programs. We see it in poll after poll. Now, Chris, speaking of these appointments that are coming up, we've got Eric Holder, who will likely be chosen for the attorney general position. With regard to the head of the ONDCP, the Drug Czar's office, has there been any news that you've heard of any potential picks? I've heard rumblings about Jim Ramstad, but then there were some problems with that. Any new?
Yeah, a number of names have been proposed, and he's one of them. I have not heard whether or not a selection is imminent, so I have no news on that front, unfortunately.
Okay. Now, with regard to the raids, I'm sure there's people out here in our audience that are interested in the story and want to do what they can do to help out, even if they're not in the state of California. Could you give some web resources or other ways that people outside listening could help you out?
Sure. Our web address is AmericansForSafeAccess.org. And so that's probably the best way to check out our resources and, you know, find out more about this issue and more about what we're doing to help direct the Obama administration toward sensible and comprehensive policies around medical marijuana. If people have questions that they want to ask by phone, they can contact us toll-free at 888-929-4367.
All right, that's AmericansForSafeAccess.org on the web. 888-929-4367 is the phone number. We'll get all that information up on the post for our Stash blog on this one. And Chris, thank you so much for joining us here, and I wish you could be under better circumstances. We'll keep
right.
Encouraging people to contact the Obama administration. You know, he was pretty clear in the campaign about his desire to want to put DEA resources to better use. So I think we've got some leverage here.
Yes, he made multiple statements to that effect, and so we intend to hold his feet to the fire, keep his promise to end these federal raids. And it's unfortunate that people have to be harmed, both the operators themselves and the patients that rely on the medicine that comes from these dispensaries. We need a change in federal policy, and the time is now.
The time is now. Thank you, Chris Hermes from Americans for Safe Access. Thank you for joining us today on The Stash.
Thanks very much.
I'm Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. and the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Today's musical break is going to take us to the countryside of the tracks, y'all. Well, maybe that's not quite accurate. While at first glance, Jason Boland and the Stragglers' music may seem easy to stereotype as Texas or country, intent listening makes it harder to categorize their music easily, revealing the influence of the land and life that got them to where they are. Boland knows he can't shy away from questions about how to classify his music, but simply states, quote, "The Chinese don't call it Chinese food, it's just food. I'm just making music," end quote. Here Jason Boland tells about his baby who loves him when he's stoned. Well, he might be talking about alcohol. He says, "knock a couple back" instead of "take a couple drags," for instance. Hey, but a good chorus is a good chorus. This is Jason Boland and the Stragglers with "When I'm Stoned."
It takes a lot of thought to write a love song this special. My baby loves me when I'm stoned, as long as I find my way home. No, my baby, she don't care about the songs I sing, the clothes I wear. Loves her late night calls on the telephone. And my baby loves me when I'm stoned. Oh, she makes me see the picture, and she makes me see red. She puts me on a pedestal and then messes with my head. She don't want me in an office or in a three-piece suit. She'd rather see me in dirty jeans and boots. My baby loves me when I'm stoned, as long as I find my way home. No, my baby, she don't care about the songs I sing or the clothes I wear. And loves her late night calls on the telephone. And my baby loves me when I'm stoned. There it goes. Every time that we're together, oh, she cuts all the slack. She knows I ain't myself till I knock a couple back. It'll lead your life to ruin, take you to an early grave. At least that's what those people always say. But my baby loves me when I'm stoned, as long as I find my way home. No, my baby, she don't care about the songs I sing, the clothes I wear. Loves her late night calls on the telephone. My baby loves me when I'm stoned. I ain't never gonna leave that girl alone. My baby loves me when I'm stoned. Thank you very much.
Seventy-six % of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORMA. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORMAL, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Weed.
That's Hoobie Valley, Hoobie Hop.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time to take a look at 420 Comedy with the star of Hollyweed Live. You know her from the season one of Last Comic Standing on NBC. It's Terry Joyce. Time once again for us to venture down to Southern California, the locus of marijuana-related activity in the United States, and our Southern California correspondent, Terry Joyce. Hey, Terry, welcome back.
Oh, I'm so happy today.
I know. It's the first time you and I have gotten to speak during the Obama administration.
Yes, it is. And it's a new day.
It's a new day. I've just been saying President Obama, President Obama everywhere I go. It's just been so much fun. What'd you think about that inauguration ceremony? Wasn't that something?
It was something. The thing that I found interesting was to watch the Bush administration come out.
Yeah,
Cheney wheeling out in a wheelchair. You know, he looked like Dr. Strangelove.
I thought he kind of looked like the villain from the Indiana Jones movie.
Yes,
with his face melts, you know.
Yeah, or Mr. Potter from, you know, It's a Wonderful Life.
There you go.
You don't get that bank loan.
Yeah, it was great to see Bush taking off in that helicopter. Wasn't that just a great sight?
Yes, yeah. Well, there's one thing that I want to, I hate it when people talk about, you know, what Michelle Obama was wearing or what the women were wearing, because I just find it so shallow. But I just have to say one thing. I'm criticizing one person's outfit, and I just want to know what was up with Ted Kennedy's hat.
Ted Kennedy's hat?
Yeah. Did you notice it? It's like he was going for like some sort of steampunk look.
I was so distracted by Aretha Franklin's hat that I lost track of that one.
That was not a good choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all looking forward to this new Obama administration. We're hoping that he keeps his promise about ending the DEA's focus on California's medical marijuana. And you've brought with you today a guest who can help talk about that subject just a little bit, specifically with regard to Southern California. So, Terry, why don't you go ahead and make the introduction?
Well, I'd like to introduce, she's a friend of mine. She is the president of Patient Advocacy Network here in Southern California. And we've done a lot of projects together. We've done fundraisers as well as we worked together putting the Gay Pride Parade, our marijuana float. And so I just want to welcome Dejay Coutte.
Well, hello, Dejay.
Terry, it's really good to be here. Thanks for coming by last night to help me celebrate my birthday, which was on Inauguration Day. So,
oh wow,
it was definitely a treat for me to see Bush leaving finally after 8 years.
Yeah. Well, Dejay, you work with the Patient Advocacy Network down there. Is there a website people could log on to get more information?
Yes. Our website is cannabissaveslives.com. cannabissaveslives.com.
Oh, that's good. Cannabissaveslives.com, and we'll put a link to that up on the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. And tell folks what the Patients Advocacy Network does.
Well, we were founded by a group of advocates here in Southern California who saw a need for empowering patients on this issue. We, of course, have more activity on this issue than any place else on the planet right now. We have an estimated near 300 medical cannabis dispensaries here throughout the greater Los Angeles area, a very large concentration of medical cannabis patients, and the world is looking at how LA is going to handle this issue for the rest of California as well as the country. And what we saw, and people can say this not just about medical cannabis, but activism in general in Southern California, is it's not a place where people are incredibly successfully organized, and there's just so much diversity, and it's such a large area to cover that doing really coordinated activism is difficult. And it is a drug war, and we are at war with the DEA, and they do come in with battering rams, and they do shatter people's lives. They do put people in prison. They do take people's children. They do take people's property. And, you know, that's what we're up against. And if patients here weren't quite ready for that, weren't prepared for the challenges ahead, then I knew that we could be looking at Southern California being doomed in this issue. So we founded this organization for the purpose of educating and empowering and advocating for patients so that we can effectively demonstrate for our elected officials, whether they be local, state, or federal, that we need a change in policy, and we need it immediately, not 20 years from now, but we need it now.
Well, speaking of change, you know, we were talking about the Obama inauguration. What is it you're expecting from the Obama administration in maybe even just the first 100 days that could help the patients down there in Southern California?
Honestly, nothing. I have to admit that they've been pretty clear with us that there are other issues that are going to take precedent over this one. And if anybody paid any attention to the election, what Obama is telling us is really not what it is he can do is singularly on these really tough issues like medical cannabis, but how much we are going to do for ourselves in moving the agenda forward. And that's, you know, and I know that he has said that he's favorable on this, but one of the issues that came up was, I'm sure you're familiar, he had his change.gov website
mm-hmm.
where citizens were invited to write a question of his administration that they would like to ask regarding the future of our country on any topic, whether it was the war, the environment, education, military issues, whatever. And the very first round that they did this, the cannabis question was number one. Went all the way to the top, above the war, above global warming, above everything else. The number one voted on question in the country was about marijuana reform. And the way that his transition team responded to that was they really kind of slid it over, and the question was very nicely written because it didn't just include medical cannabis, but it also validated industrial hemp and just really looked at what needs to happen with the way cannabis is actually classified and scheduled within the law. And the simple one-line response that we got was, President-elect Barack Obama does not support the legalization of marijuana. Just a real simple blanket question, you know, answer to what was a fairly complex question. And I felt like he really sidestepped it. And the next thing I did is they put it up again and asked everybody to ask questions again. And I don't know if cannabis made it to the absolute number one again, but it was up there in the, they didn't even do a number one, number two. They didn't rank them that way again. What they did is they said, oh, these were just the top ones in general. And cannabis still made it within the top 10 of the issues that are the top priority on Americans' minds. You know, 80% of our voting public agrees that people should not go to jail for using cannabis for therapeutic reasons. You know, we always joke that if cannabis ran for president, it would win. It's ranked higher in the polls than any other topic or subject that we've ever had in this country. And the fact that he basically said that he could not afford to put the quote-unquote political capital into the marijuana issue.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not hopeful in the next 100 days that there's going to be any significant or movement or change from the Obama administration itself. Our real hope at this point is there'll be oversight hearings on the DEA here very soon. That's a scheduled event that happens on all of our different administrations, and we're hoping for some very tough and poignant questions of the DEA, specifically on their tactics in California. We, of course, have now 13 medical marijuana states, but California, of course, Southern California is getting hit the hardest, and hopefully with the oversight hearings and at least Obama saying that he would end the raids, that we could at least take that a step in the right direction, that if there was anything that would happen positive in the next 100 days, I would see that maybe through the House Judiciary Committee, the Congress, and something through the Obama administration, we'd at least get a moratorium on any further raids on permitted medical cannabis dispensaries in California and other states as well.
Yeah, I think if the Obama administration were to just step back on that and not, that's an issue where they don't have to do anything proactively. They just have to not react to what California is doing. And that could be
it's so complicated. I mean, there's so many complex issues around how do you legally handle medical cannabis, whether it's rescheduling or reclassification or legalization or decriminalization. It's all very complex. And so, yes, if we can just halt the raids for now while we really sort out and talk about the rest, that would be a very good start.
Well, let's talk about California specifically now, because I've been reporting on a few stories. I know up in Northern California, up in San Francisco, Mayor Newsom is proposing new regulations for dispensaries. Attorney General Brown has come out with his opinions on medical marijuana. And there's even still counties, San Diego and San Bernardino, that don't fully obey the law with regard to ID cards and such. What do you see as the next steps that need to happen in California to help protect patients?
Well, I think that the way that San Francisco is going is actually a good start. What Gavin Newsom has proposed is not anything new. They have a written ordinance, and they have laws and guidelines already within the city of San Francisco. What Gavin Newsom is merely restating is the part of the Attorney General's guidelines about dispensaries, making sure they're operating in a non-for-profit fashion, and that if there's ever any question as to whether or not a dispensary is doing that, then they would be subject to a city audit. And even though it may have sounded new, and of course the way the reporter brought it forward, it's actually already part of their regulations for their dispensaries there. And having actual permitted dispensaries, a city that has gone through the full process of writing regulations, approving regulations, and now having each one of those entities come forward for a hearing and either be accepted or rejected for a permit to operate, it's a strong message. These local initiatives and local regulations, they demonstrate local support. They show the patients as well as the feds that, we are self-regulating, we are self-governing, we are handling this issue on our own. And that's because Proposition 215 is, of the medical cannabis laws around the country, Prop 215 is one of the most vague. And so it's left a lot of law enforcement able to interpret things the way they will on a county-to-county basis, like you were mentioning, like we have down south. And so when cities get on board and self-govern, self-regulate, and do it themselves and not wait for the Attorney General or for someone in Congress to tell them how to do it, they just do it themselves. It's a really good first step in us being able to demonstrate to our national elected officials that this is possible, this is feasible, and it'll show there hasn't been this upsurge in crime and people aren't dying from the use of cannabis. And, it'll be able to demonstrate California's always been a social laboratory, and the fact that San Francisco is so close to the end of that process of actually issuing the permits to the last of those clubs is a really good sign. As far as what San Diego and San Bernardino are thinking by taking the ID card issue all the way to the Supreme Court, it's just a huge, huge waste of resources. And unfortunately, San Diego is basically the vacation hub of Washington, D.C. You know,
yeah.
So many federal people live in San Diego, and the Bush administration had such a stake there that I think they have really helped and promoted those body of people down there to move forward with this really costly, wasteful, silly lawsuit.
Yeah, especially when the state of California is looking at giving people IOUs instead of tax refunds this year, you'd think they'd be a little bit smarter about how they want to spend their money.
Right, and that's just it. I mean, unfortunately, with the drug war, we don't have rationale. You know, that's not what's used in this drug war, because if it was, it would have been over a very, very long time ago.
Boy, I hear that. Well, DeJ, thank you for joining us here on The Stash. And I want to remind folks, the Patients Advocacy Network in Southern California is available online at www.cannabissaveslives.com. And DeJ, and of course, Terry, for bringing DeJ to the show. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with a simple reminder to get involved with your government. The federal government's going to be a long ways behind the people on the issue of ending adult marijuana prohibition, so get involved at the state and local level. Already, we're looking at medical marijuana bills being introduced in Minnesota, South Dakota, New Jersey, Missouri, Ohio, Washington State's looking at decrim, Montana's looking at fixing their medical marijuana program, California, Oregon, all of them are bound to have something you can get involved with. And for those of you who are in non-medical states or places where it might be a little difficult, look at the local level. Places like Eureka Springs, Arkansas have passed low-priority initiatives. There's a way for you to get involved. Just keep up with us here at stash.normal.org. And we'll keep you in touch. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.